Welcome to First Formation, spiritual exercise for Christian soldiers looking to get up and pray. Join Pew Pew HQ every weekday morning to hear the good news through grunts and with grunts in the unity of the Holy Spirit as one church forever and ever. Fall in.
Psalm 133. How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head running down upon the beard, on the beard of Aaron, running down over the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion, where there the Lord ordained his blessing, life ever forevermore. Daniel chapter 2, verses 24 to 49. Therefore Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon, and said to him, "Do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will give the king the interpretation." Then Arioch went quickly, brought Daniel before the king, and said to him, "I have found among the exiles from Judah a man who can tell the king the interpretation." The king said to Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, "Are you able to tell me the dream that I have seen and its interpretation?" Daniel answered the king, "No wise men, enchanters, magicians, or diviners can show to the king the mystery that the king is asking. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has disclosed to King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen at the end of days. Your dream and the visions of your head as you lay in bed were these. To you, O king, as you laid in bed came thoughts that would be hereafter, and the revealer of mysteries disclosed to you what is to be. But as for me, this mystery has not been revealed to me because of any wisdom that I have more than any other living being, but in order that the interpretation may be known to the king, and that you may understand the thoughts of your mind. You were looking, O king, and lo, there was a great statue. This statue was huge, it was brilliant extraordinarily. It was standing before you, and its appearance was frightening. The head of the statue was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its middle and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. As you looked on, a stone was cut out, not by human hands, and it struck the statue on the feet of iron and clay, and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were all broken in pieces and became like chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, so that not a trace of them could be found. But the stone that struck the statue became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This was the dream. Now we will tell you its interpretation. You, O king, the king of kings, to whom the God of heaven has given this kingdom, the power, the might, and the glory, into whose hands he has given human beings, wherever they live, the wild animals of the field, and the birds of the airs, and whom he has established as ruler over all of them, you are the head of gold. After you shall arise another in kingdom inferior to yours, and yet a third kingdom of bronze shall rule over the whole earth. And there shall be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron, just as iron crushes and smashes everything. It shall crush and shatter all these. As you saw the feet and toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, it shall be a divided kingdom, but some of the strength of iron shall be in it, as you saw the iron mixed with the clay. As the toes of the feet were part iron and part clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly brittle. As you saw the iron mixed with the clay, so will they mix with one another in marriage, but they will not hold together, just as iron and clay does not mix. In the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, nor shall this king be left to another people. It shall crush all these kingdoms and bring them to an end, and it shall stand forever, just as you saw the stone was cut from the mountain, not by hands, that crushed the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold. The great God has informed the king, whatever there be shall be thereafter. The dream is certain, and its interpretation is trustworthy. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face and worshipped Daniel, and commanded that a grain offering and incense be offered to him. The king said to Daniel, "Truly your God is God of gods and the Lord of kings and the revealer of mysteries, for you have been able to reveal this mystery." Then the king promoted Daniel, gave him many great gifts, and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief prefect over all the wise men of Babylon. Daniel made the request of the king, and he appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel remained at the king's court. The Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 44 to 50. Then Jesus cried aloud, "Whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as light into the world, so that everyone who believes in me should not remain in the darkness. I do not judge anyone who hears my words and does not keep them, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not receive my word has a judge. On the last day, the word that I have spoken will serve as judge. For I have not spoken on my own, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment about what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I speak, therefore, I speak just as the Father has told me." Good morning. This is Tim Tribble coming to you from Sacramento, California. Today's readings come to us from Psalm 133, Daniel chapter 2, verses 24 to 49, and John chapter 12, verses 44 to 50. Our reading in Daniel today is a continuation of Daniel and King Nebuchadnezzar. So the king, the Babylonian Empire enslaved the Jews, took a bunch of the intelligent ones, the cream of the crop, if you will, brought them to Babylon. Daniel was among them with some of his friends. They were educated in the Babylonian ways. And remember, in the previous readings, they did not eat the diet. They kept true to their Jewish diet. And now King Nebuchadnezzar had this dream, a nightmare, if you will. And he didn't understand it. And he called all the wise men and things from his country, and they're all, and he told them, "I need you to tell me what it is, and if you don't, if you get it wrong, I'm going to kill you." Nothing like performance pressure, right? And they're sitting there going, "No, wait a minute, there is no one who can not only tell you what the dream is that you had, but then turn around and tell you what it means." So they all balked at it. Pissed Nebuchadnezzar off, so he ordered to have them all killed. Well, Daniel and his friends were amongst that group. They weren't the ones that said they couldn't do it. They hadn't even been given a chance to speak yet. So when the chief executioner came, Daniel's like, "Look, I can do this." Because God had come to him in a dream and had revealed to him the king's dream and what it meant. So the chief executioner brought him before the court, and he sat there and he said, "Okay, well, show me, okay." And Daniel, in today's reading, gave them not only what the dream was, which was the destruction of this great statue, but what it meant. And what it meant is the interesting part. The statue is made of many different things. The head was gold, then you had silver, then you had bronze, and you had iron and clay and all this. And a great stone was cut out, and not by human hands, and destroyed the entire statue. And that stone became this great mountain that covered the earth. You got that part right. Well, then what does this mean? And Daniel tells them what it means, and that this is a foretelling of the coming of the kingdom of God. And Nebuchadnezzar, realizing, "Oh, okay, we got this," he worshiped Daniel, gave him gifts and things, promoted him, put him in charge. Of course, he brought his friends with him, and they went out and established themselves in the ruling class of Babylon. Our reading in the Gospel of John today is chapter 12, verses 44 to 50. So, backing up a little bit in chapter 12, so this is where Mary, beginning of chapter 12 is where Mary anoints Jesus. Then there was the plot to kill Lazarus. Then we had Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And we had the Greeks that came and wanted to see Jesus. We've had that reading already. Jesus talks about his death. We have the unbelief of the people. And now this last section that we have today is called the summary of Jesus' teaching. And this is where Jesus is pointing out that he is not God. He's been sent by God. He has come as a light unto the world, so that everybody who believes in me should not remain in darkness. But he's not here to judge those who don't hear his word. He's here to save. And the judgment is left to God. And he begins with, his commandment is eternal life. But what I speak, therefore I speak just as the Father has told me. That Jesus is here again saying he is not God. He is the Son of God, using the term Father in referencing God and what God told him to do. Just like, those of us who, have had children, we tell our children what to do. And so we come along here, and this is Jesus. What was the last 3 years about? What was he trying to accomplish? What was he doing? And this is where he comes. He says, I came as light. You believe in me. It's not in me, but in him who sent me. And he's come as a light into the world, so that we should not remain in darkness. So we're using Jesus again as using metaphors to explain, people want to be in the light. You don't want to be in the dark. They're used to that. There's all kinds of bad things that happen when it gets dark out. So again, they're coming through and trying to explain things in a way that people will understand. But Jesus is setting himself up and saying, I am the Son of God. This is at the end of his ministry. They're in Jerusalem. This has happened at some point in time during Holy Week. I'm not exactly sure when. I don't have all that information. But this is a big resource. And Jesus, in the Gospel of John, who's the odd gospel, pointing out it was very important to him that he needed to put in this summary of who Jesus was. That Jesus was the Son of God. That he was sent here to save, not to judge. And we can move on from this. And this is who we are. So we, as followers of Christ, as those who have seen the light and accepted the light, we are not here to judge. Just as Jesus said, he's not here to judge. The judgment is left for God. We are here to be a light in the darkness of the world. And again, you keep hearing me say this, and I will keep saying it. It is very much a core part of my belief, as we are to look at God with our whole heart, minds, and soul, and love our neighbors as ourselves. It's difficult. I don't always get it right, let me tell you. But this is what it is, and this is Jesus. This is who Jesus was, the Son of God, coming to bring the light, but not to judge those in the world, but to save them from the darkness. And that's what we are called to do as followers of Christ. We're not here to judge people. We're not here to tell people they're wrong, they're bad, whatever. We are here to through the example of our lives and how we conduct ourselves on a day-to-day basis, that we're different and we represent the light, and that there is something different in the world besides the darkness that we see consuming everything around us. Amen.
A prayer for our enemies from the Book of Common Prayer. O God, the Father of all, whose Son commanded us to love our enemies, lead them and us from prejudice to truth. Deliver them and us from hatred, cruelty, and revenge. And in your good time, enable us all to stand reconciled before you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you for falling in to First Formation, where Pew Pew HQ shares morning prayers for the humble, hardy folk caught in the crosshairs of God and country. If you like what you've heard, you can participate in one of the three following ways. First, you can support the podcast by clicking the link in the show notes. Or, if you serve military families, subscribe to First Forward, a paid subscription feed providing commentary on Sunday lectionary texts a week in advance. Use it for sermon prep or just because you support the troops. Second, you can become a co-host by recording a lectionary reading for a future episode. Instruction will be provided, and you don't have to be a grunt to collaborate with PewPewHQ in this or any way. Finally, you can also record and send prayer requests of a minute or less. Prayers can be included in an episode, read anonymously if you wish, or kept private for me to pray for off of air. So there you have it. Three ways to participate in First Formation. I hope you'll continue to listen, even if I haven't convinced you to fall in. This has been Brother Logan Isaac, always faithful, always family. Semper Familia.